You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:02 on a beautiful Friday here in East Tennessee. We get the weekend started off right here at one of our favorite places, National RX in Farragut. So good to be out here. We got some piping hot Judge Pizza for you if you want to stop by and say hello. Would love to see you. 11-134 Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's out here in Farragut. Come on out and see him. Check out the Ananda Professional CBD products. If you've had any CBD questions, if you're CBD curious, they've got your answers out here. Come by and talk to one of the friendly, knowledgeable, trained pharmacists, and they'll get you set up with something that will drastically improve your lifestyle. And a professional CBD available here at National RX, Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's. Folks, we have much to discuss this afternoon, a lot going on. We have the Kentucky meltdown continuing over there. I mean, guys, is there ever been a greater example of making a mountain out of a molehill than what Mark Stoops and Kentucky have done in the last 24 hours or so? If he had never put out that tweet, if they had just seen that and been like, you know, grumble a little bit, maybe make a back channel call to Cal, kind of take care of it behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Nobody except for a handful of toothless Kentucky fans would have even known that happened. It wouldn't have been a big deal. But by dragging it out there, they've created a controversy that I guess they will have to deal with it in recruiting now. Wouldn't have had to if they kept their mouth shut, but much like blowing a game to Tennessee in the fourth quarter, Mark Stoops has found a way to come out a loser once again.
I mean, it's what he's best at. It's something. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have picked up anything, and I'm not slamming on him, but, you know, they really only have, like, one local show. It's, that Matt Jones thing, so there wouldn't be, like, a bunch of shows talking about it that would have picked up on something like that. Why did he do that? That's the kind of thing that tells me that's a guy that if you've got that poor of impulse control, and you're not going to win the East. I mean, you do what you do up there, but I mean, he just does dumb stuff at the worst times.
I mean, Josh Heupel and Georgia. And first of all, they're not recruiting. They're not winning recruiting battles against Georgia to begin with. But I mean, they've won. They got the Wade twins out of Chattanooga. We wanted them badly last year. I mean, they've taken recruits away from us. There's no doubt about it. You know, our program are sadly in similar spots right now. But I don't think it's something that Josh Heupel was going to use against Kentucky in recruiting. It's something that wouldn't have even come across his desk. He's totally focused on his team right now, preparing his team. He doesn't care what's going on up at Kentucky right now. But now that it has become a regional, it's a national news story, man. This story was on ESPN.com this morning. Now they will. Now the next time we're in a recruiting battle for a player with Kentucky, you bet Josh Heupel is going to say, hey, look, we're, you know, a school that plays big-time college football. We've got national championships and the 100,000-seat stadium. This, you want to come somewhere where football is important, come to Tennessee. Even Kentucky's own basketball coach says Kentucky isn't a big-time football school. So,
well, that, and I, you know, Triple J clapped about as hard as anybody on him, just clowning him. But what he said, hey, you know, I mean, from that standpoint, like, it's a complete polar opposite of what we've got going on here. It makes me feel better about what we've got going on here. You know, when you look up in the stands of a baseball game, you're going to see football players. You're going to see Coach Heupel, recruits in on visits. You're definitely going to see, you know, what do they call them, the Big U, Urosh. And
Urosh.
You know, all the – I mean, everybody's enjoying everybody else's success and support. And It sounds like Kentucky's pretty dysfunctional. I am very sad to hear about this, Russ. I'll tell you. Very sad.
I don't know that they're dysfunctional. I mean, they're just making it harder on themselves. I mean, look, it's not the same basketball landscape that they dominated for so long. I mean, Tennessee takes basketball seriously now. You've got other programs in this conference that take basketball seriously now, and they're not able to just walk all over everybody the way they once were, and they're fighting an uphill battle in football. And again, I'll give them credit. I mean, their program is better than it has been. They're a threat. I no longer take that game for granted on the schedule, but
they're good enough now where they're really making me angry. I'll go with you there.
And I love Triple J dunking on Kentucky. The season hasn't even started yet, and already the Vols are owning the Mildcats. Huh. Fantastic.
They better have that check ready for the Deacon.
Absolutely fantastic.
You feel that?
All right. I feel you, brother.
Better
Marcus Young, how you doing this afternoon? Young Marcus Young.
I'm doing good. I'm glad it's Friday and ready for the weekend. Doing good.
Laid back Marcus Young, making his presence felt already. Good stuff, my friend. I know you got some good stuff for us coming up on the top four, top five. Wanted to, all right, so I know everybody's thinking it. Let's just get right into it.
We almost made it.
What happened yesterday? What you talking about, the championship round?
Complete disaster.
Matt, Nick, and John, it was an epic slugfest. It was a fight. It's a fight to the finish, and John and we all left thinking all three contestants scored a 13, and we just, and rather than have a three-way playoff, we just decided to postpone until Monday, first of all, so that we could have some extra time to get the segment completed, and second of all, so we could figure out if our first contestant, three-time defending champion, the champ, Matty Ice, had in fact gotten his final response in under the buzzer, before the buzzer completed. Now, as soon as the show was over yesterday, we went back and studied the audio. I listened to it about a billion times, and I don't know. I still don't know. I don't know if he completed. The rule is his answer must be completed before the buzzer finishes.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's our rule. It's a little bit different in sports. Like in basketball, if, you know, the buzzer goes off and you're shooting, it's the game's over if you've got the ball in your hand. You can't shoot it before the buzzer ends. You got to get it. So ours is a little bit different. You have to complete the answer before the buzzer finishes.
I kind of feel like we ought to take a look at that in the off season.
Well, I mean, we can submit it to the
council,
to the rules committee. But we went back and listened to it. I couldn't, you know, Bear is convinced that Matty Ice didn't get the answer in time.
No, I mean, it's not about being convinced, and don't try and paint me in a corner. When I heard it in real time, I didn't think he'd gotten it in. I played the game. I've been listening to this game.
I'm not compromised
with Marty Ice. This guy is one of my biggest fans, he'll tell you. He's one of my guys.
Hold on now. Calm down. You've been openly rooting against him. You're on record as saying you wanted one of the other two to win. You've been taunting him, calling him the wrong name. Like that's fine. You do you, but I'm just saying, I don't think anybody thinks that you're unbiased in this situation.
There's a difference between being unbiased and me not, thinking that I'd be compromised and would give a false ruling on the game. The game's the game. That's completely separate from him. If he got it, he got it. But I'm telling you, first hearing it, I just didn't think he had it.
Well, I mean, you say that after hearing it once. I've listened to it 100 times, and I don't know. Anyway, we sent the audio off to our forensics analysis team here at Fan Run Radio, and we've had a team of scientists breaking this down behind the scenes. That's all they've been doing for the past 24 hours. We have sent the audio off to the Council of Elders, and we are expecting a ruling. We are expecting a ruling at some point today, and we will know. I'll tell you this. Nick and John are going to play on Monday. What you talking about again? We're going to run it back. Now, will Matty Ice be with them? Will it be another three-way affair? We'll find out. We're expecting a ruling literally any minute. Stay tuned. I know you're on the edge of your seats. Bear, let's go to the film. Let's go look at the film.
You want to play the clips?
Yeah, play me clip one. All right, this is his last answer. Now, here's what happened. For those of you who didn't hear yesterday, again, the answer has to be complete before the end of the buzzer. So the question was the answer was Egypt, and the clue I said was it's the country in Africa where the Nile is, and he got the answer correctly, but it's right at the end. The buzzer is clearly going off. Does he complete his answer before the buzzer finishes? Play us clip one, please.
This is the country in Africa where the Nile is.
Egypt.
Done. He didn't get
so close.
You can understand my thought process at the time, why I disagreed with you, because when you hear it like that,
yeah, because you haven't close. You're not as familiar with this game. It's like a boom boom play at first base is exactly what it is. I mean, it's as close gets.
Well, they say tie goes to the runner, so I mean,
it wasn't a tie. I hear the slap of the ball against the leather before I hear the cleats.
Play it again. Let's listen to it one more time.
This is the country in Africa where the Nile is.
Egypt.
I mean, how can you say with any certainty, one way or the other, whether he finished it or not?
I'm just confident that he didn't get it in.
Marcus, are you confident? Like, I don't know how I can see where you think he didn't finish it, but I can't say with confidence. Are you confident at all, Marcus, in this?
In the moment yesterday, I felt pretty confident because when you hear it live, that's the issue. Is when you hear it live, you're listening for the end of that buzz and when he finishes his word. And in that moment, I definitely felt very confident. Today,
that he got it.
Right, that he got it. Now, today, I've been doing some research on my own, obviously, as we do here at The Drive. We all do our research. I'm starting to lose some confidence. And I'm waiting for our forensic team to come down with the final verdict.
All right. One more time. Clip one, Bear. Listen closely. Does he finish Egypt before the buzzer finishes?
This is the country in Africa where the Nile is.
Egypt.
Can I give you guys a tip here? What's the last thing you hear? The buzzer or his voice?
I don't know.
It's his voice is the last thing you hear.
All right. Let's go to the forensics here. Play clip two, Bear. We slowed it down just a little bit. Here's a clip two. See if this improves, changes your opinion any.
Egypt.
One more time.
Egypt.
There's no question.
Oh, there's a question. How could you say there's no question?
Egypt.
One more time.
Just listen to it. Just focus on the buzzer.
Yeah, please play it one more time.
Egypt.
Egypta. Egypta.
Egypta.
Egypta. Listen to it one more time.
Let's slow it down way, way, way down. Play me clip three. This is as close as we can get it. Let's really zoom in here and listen closely. I still don't. Here's the problem.
What?
There's like an echo on both his voice and the buzzer.
This is the definitive one. Let me play this one again real quick.
All right, one more time.
I'm really stunned that this didn't just end the discussion immediately.
Egypt.
What do you think, Marcus?
Can I hear the slowed down version one last time?
The super slow-mo?
Yeah, the super slow-mo.
Super slow-mo.
When I hear that version, I hear the put at the end of the buzzer.
Zipta. Zipta.
Egypt.
I mean, it's plain as day, dude.
it's not plain as day. I mean, this is why, like,
I mean, it is. And I mean, I have been rooting against the guy, but I mean, make no mistake, this is a guy that, I mean, he keeps me gassed up during voluntary reaction.
We put this audio out last night on Twitter, and I mean, the results were like, it was down the middle. There were people saying he got it, people saying he didn't. I don't know. Anyway, we've submitted this to the Drives Council of Elders, and again, we are expecting a ruling any moment now. So stay tuned throughout the show this afternoon, and hopefully Matty Ice's fate will be decided one way or the other by the time we are done at 6 p.m. here this afternoon. It wouldn't be what you're talking about without some sort of controversy right at the end. Right at the end. And that guy, the last guy, John, he had it, man. He was on like a record pace, and then he just completely fell apart down the stretch the last 15, 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like a Phil Fulmer special in here. I mean, almost ended up blowing a game.
He was like Pearl watching his 17-point lead against Ohio State in the Sweet 16 evaporate back in 2007.
Yeah. That's probably a better analogy. Yeah, absolutely. He was cruising to being king of what you're talking about.
All right, let's take a quick break here. Get Trey Wallace of OutKick in the festivities with us this afternoon. It's a Friday edition of the show. Locked, loaded, ready to go. Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues Friday afternoon, live today at National RX. Save big with their generics program. Find out how much money you can save on any sort of prescription medications you're getting on the regular basis with the National RX generics program. Just give them a call down here, 865-392-1770. Ask to speak to a pharmacist. Go over your medications with them, and they'll see if they can save you a little bit of money. That's the advantage you get using a locally owned and operated, veteran-owned and operated pharmacy, National RX, out here, Kingston Pike, next to Wendy's in Farragut. Oh, yeah, they'll deliver, too. So you don't even have to come out here to get those prescriptions filled. All right, let's bring in Trey Wallace from OutKick.com. Good afternoon, Trey. How are you, sir?
I'm good, buddy. I'm just going through the evidence as well. And honestly, I think he got Egypt in before the buzzer hit.
You think he got it in?
Yeah, I do. No, I think he says it, and then at the very last millisecond, the buzzer is still going when he finishes the word Egypt.
See, Bear,
I don't think Trey, have you chad your ears checked lately?
Dude, I was listening to it yesterday when it happened, man. I was sitting here writing something. I had you guys.
Trey,
on.
Don't come on here and try and stir up controversy. Come on, man.
Right when he said it, I texted you guys right when he said it. I said he got it in.
We're not shutting people down. Again, your bias is so evident, Bear. In this.
That is, I mean, patently false.
If you weren't biased, you would be welcome of Trey's opinion and want to hear what he said. But you're just trying to shut my guy down.
I just feel like it's so obvious.
Well, it's clearly not. I mean, are you calling Trey dumb? If it's obvious, he disagrees.
Did you listen to the slowed down ones, Trey?
Yeah, Bear. I did listen to the slowed down ones. I have my, I sent it off to my law enforcement crew to see how it sounded.
Trey does have good contacts with the law enforcement community. So, all right, we're still waiting. We're still waiting on the council ruling. Ruling will come down hopefully before we're done here. Trey, let's talk about the important stuff, and that, of course, is Tennessee football. We're under 3 weeks away from kickoff. We missed you last week, buddy. I mean, what are your thoughts so far? You and I haven't really talked much about what's going on in camp so far. No news is good news for Josh Heupel. Is that kind of your take so far?
I mean, yeah. We've kind of gone back and forth a little bit through text messages, but, like, just talking about it, I think that the no news kind of is good news type of deal. You saw where, Brew McCoy didn't participate in the scrimmage on Saturday, but he's been back out there this week. Tennessee's still waiting on a ruling on his eligibility. You look at the wide receiver core, from folks I've spoken with, Jalen Hyatt, it just – he's taking his game to the next level from last year. And I, you know, it wasn't, I mean, the only place he could go was up from last season. He's even admitted that. But you look at, you know, start offensively. I mean, you look at it right now, I think, you know, Jabari Small is the guy. He's going to lead the way when it comes to this group. Can he stay healthy? I think that is a question that, that will be answered over the first six games or so. And then, you know, what do you do behind him? You know, Jalen Wright got back on the practice field. He, you know, he's been dealing with a lot of stuff, you know, doing indoor work and whatnot and hadn't been really able to go. We'll see if he scrimmages this weekend. So I think, you know, running back wise, you know, you see Justin Williams Thomas in there and he's getting some carries. We'll see what, you know, it looks like for Lynn J. Dixon, if he can get any more this weekend. But, you know, to be honest with you, the biggest question mark is what they do at the other tackle position. You know, is it going to be Crawford? Is it going to be Mincy? You know, and I think if they can get that figured out, you're looking at an offensive side of the football, Russ, that could give teams a lot of problems this year, especially if you get Brew on one side, Cedric on the other, and you know, you can do a rotation between Jalen. You can throw Squirrel in there, Walker Merrill. You have options, and I think that's the best part about what Tennessee's dealing with on offense this year compared to maybe the other side of the ball right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of us are expecting anything less than borderline dominance on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I think they're going to average over 40 points a game and be one of the top 10 offenses in the country. I saw where Jalen Hyatt today said he guarantees it's going to be the best offense in the country. I don't know if don't know about all that, but I do think they're going to be pretty good. This is defense, Trey. I mean, last time we saw these guys, they were getting absolutely torched by Purdue. You know, they're missing some guys. It's a bowl game, maybe not the same motivation. Things are different now. I think on the defensive side, we all believe they're going to improve. It's just a question of how much. How much do you think Tim Banks' side will be improved this year?
Yeah, man, if you're a Tennessee fan, you hope for the best along the defensive line front. You know, you've got the edges taken care of, in my opinion. Well, what does that defensive line front look like? You know, when is a – and I say this, and I don't mean this in a mean way towards the young man, but when does Elijah Simmons finally show up and it's, you know, the talk stops and the play on the field, you know, and he's been – kind of nursing a little bit of an injury, didn't scrimmage last weekend. You know, when does he step up? You know, how did they get production? How much did they get production out of Latrell Bumpus? Deshaun Terry right there in the middle. You know, what does a guy like, you know, Bryson Eason look like? You know, there's a couple different questions. And I think, you know, you even look at the secondary. You know, Kamal Haddon's been out. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury. So that's given more run for guys like Christian Charles, Warren Burrell. You know, you look at the safety spot and, you know, you've got Tank and you've got Trayvon, but you need some extra speed back there. And I think they can find that. I do. You know, a guy that was kind of pointed out to me the other day, somebody like D. Williams, you know, he's just so darn fast. You know, so I think Tennessee's defense is going to be better. How much better? I really don't know, because at this point, I don't feel like they have that monster that they can rely on. And maybe that guy shows up. Maybe we figure out who's Tennessee's monster along the interior defensive line. But right now at this moment, it just feels like Rodney Garner is still trying to decipher that, figure out, you know, what that rotation is going to be like. Completely understandable. But it's been a few years, guys, since Tennessee has had that guy that you know you can rely on third and two, third and three, to make a stop in the interior, up the middle. And I think that's one of the concerns. But if they can figure that out, then okay, you're good. Because at linebacker, I mean, you're dealing with Jeremy Banks. You've got Juwan Mitchell in there. You've got guys with experience like Solomon Page and Aaron Beasley. They might not be the most athletic, best linebackers in the conference, but at least you had depth there. You know, you've got Herring back there as well. So, you know, what purposeful impact do these guys make this season, I think, is going to be key. And Jeremy Banks is going to be, you know, all over the field. We know Jeremy Banks, but I think the one thing with him is he's been able to control the aggression and be able to focus on the play. And I think that's key for Jeremy Banks if Tennessee's going to do anything at linebacker this year.
Trey Wallace with us this afternoon on the show, and Vols will scrimmage again on Sunday. So we'll see if there's any big news to report out of that. We'll have it for you Monday here on the show. Trey, let's talk about the soap opera a little bit. Kentucky, sure. Man, they get a lot of noise coming from the noisy neighbors up north. Kentucky wants so badly to be taken seriously as a big time football program, but I don't know. I mean, I think they're getting plenty of respect these days, Trey, but it's not enough for Mark Stoops. And for folks who maybe this is the first they've tuned in, they don't know what we're talking about. There was an article yesterday in The Athletic. John Calipari wants a new practice facility built for his basketball program up there. He says, hey, we're a basketball school. No disrespect to the football program, but this is Kentucky. We're a basketball school. We should be able to build this facility. All right, no big deal, right? Wrong. Mark Stoops takes offense. Umbrage has been taken. He goes to the internet, starts tweeting about it. Other players start tweeting about it. It's become a big firestorm. It's become a national news story. Your thoughts on what is happening up in the bluegrass today, Trey?
I talked to somebody inside the Kentucky Athletic Department earlier this morning. I just put out a piece about this, and you know, their response to me was, "What the hell was Calipari thinking?" And I understand what he's thinking. Like, I don't disagree that Kentucky is known for basketball. Like, I don't. But you come out in that quote and you're saying, "Oh well, you know," and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but Kentucky can, you know, go win 10 games. And go to a bowl game, and you know, pretty much saying they get what they want. Why not prop them up a little bit? Oh, Kentucky's trying to win championships, or you know, I think the subtle shot to Mark Stoops and them was talking about winning 10 games and going to a bowl game, and then you know, Mark Stoops comes back and says 4 postseasons in a row, like he's tweeting that postseason wins in a row. And then you've got other players coming out and football players, and they're talking about Kentucky's loss to St. Peter's in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's just – there's a lot of chaos right now in what Calipari is trying to do when it comes to a new basketball facility. And to be honest with you, you would think Kentucky would be able to get – look, if Calipari comes to you and says, hey, man, look, we need to get a basketball facility done, you would think they would have that done within 2 years. Like, that would be something that's done. But they seem to be dragging their feet. And he talked about, oh, well, we had a leak in our facility last week. We had to stop practice. And, you know, I think what happened is he was complaining enough to the administration, and that wasn't getting anywhere. So he finally just spouted off while they were down in the Bahamas on this exhibition tour. And he decided to throw Mark Stoops, you know, into the flames as well, talking about his football program. Because like I said, I don't disagree that Kentucky is known for basketball, but Kentucky football, I mean, just look at them. I know a lot of people hate them, but just look at them. They're actually getting better. They're actually winning games, and they've got a team this year that could be interesting to watch. And I know a lot of people in this area don't want to hear that, but they do. So he didn't help them when it comes to recruiting, you know, because then you had coaches, assistant coaches, Vince Mero out there, popping off at the mouth on Twitter too. Like, it's just, it was an entertaining afternoon. And I think he just kind of took it a little too far when it comes to his examples.
I hear what you say, Trey. And I do think that, you know, Cal's not necessarily doing them any favors, but this would have been a non-issue outside of hardcore Kentucky fans, right? If Stoops doesn't do anything, if they just let it go, address it in private if it's really that big a deal. But by dragging it out into the limelight now, I think it is kind of an issue, and it does highlight the fact that their football program, progress though it's made, is still not quite ready for prime time. And not only it's not opposing fans, Tennessee fans that are talking trash, that's in their own house. That's what the basketball coach thinks of them.
Well, that's the crazy part is why. why does this thing stay in house? I mean, you know, let's be real honest. Rick Barnes is not the type of guy that's going to come out and talk crap about Josh Heupel in this program, or, you know, maybe it's not even crap, or he's not going to come out and say we're a basketball school. And I know it's different. Trust me, there's a huge difference between Kentucky and Tennessee's history when it comes to basketball, and I get that part. But you still don't see that. Even Roy Williams is not going to say that, or Coach K wasn't going to say that. You know, it's just he tries to get his point across, and he tries to do it in that smug type of way, and that's just Calipari. And, you know, if you go back and watch the video interview, he's sitting in this big old house in the Bahamas at the Atlantis Resort, and he's got a couple reporters around him. He's sitting in a chair trying to look like the Godfather. And he's just running his mouth, and I don't understand why bringing football into it, besides the fact that they got a huge indoor facility, you know, that shouldn't affect Kentucky basketball. Kentucky basketball should be able to do their own thing. Maybe that's the point he was trying to make, Russ, but he shouldn't have drug football into it.
That is a good point. I mean, it's first of all, he's got one of the biggest contracts in the sport. Kentucky donors have huge dollars they're always willing to throw at basketball. Surely this is something that he can spearhead on his own without having to beg for dollars through the media. I imagine his athletics director, Mitch Barnhart, is not too pleased about all this himself.
I mean, just
weird situation they got going on up there.
Call up five of your former players and say, hey, you guys want to throw in $1 million each? I know you got it. Okay, there you go. Go build yourself a $5-6 million facility. I don't see the big old to do of having to go outside of the administration to blast it to talk about it, because that's what he was doing. He was suddenly taking shots at, like, you know, track and football and whatnot, them getting facilities, but then poor old Kentucky, we're sitting here, we can't get anything done. It's like, come on, man. You just did this huge renovation to Rupp Arena. You know, you had the new additions to locker rooms. If your facility's crap, go out and do something about it. You're the head coach. Go out and do something about it. Stop complaining to the media, because that's not going to get anything done.
Yeah, I don't think it was – I kind of tried to read between the lines on this whole deal. And what I was left with, Trey, and Russ as well, if this is more about – that the NIL, whatever collective they have up there, and Stoops wanting more of that power, piece of that pie. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bottomless fountain, but, you know, they see these big deals they're putting together for the basketball, these high-end basketball players are getting in.
No, I think that – look, that could play out in the long run. I mean, Oscar Tshiebwe was down in the Bahamas, you know, and there's certain things he can't do with NIL within the state. So he goes down there, and there were a couple reports out there that he was doing NIL deals worth $500,000 while he was technically out of the country, which he can do. You know, so it's just there's just some stuff going on within Kentucky right now that feels kind of off, and I'm wondering how they try to fix it.
He is Trey Wallace, outkick.com. All right, Bear, play us clip 3 again. This is the super slow-mo audio of Matty Ice trying to get the answer, Egypt, in under the wire before the buzzer completes. Bear says he clearly did not finish the answer
clip
before the buzzer
definitive.
Ended. Trey says he thinks he did finish the answer. We'll let you be the judge. Play it one more time.
Clip 3 or 2?
3.
I think just as the buzzer was stopping, I think it's like a 3-point shooter, man. Did he get the ball out of his hands before the shot clock, before the game clock ends? I think
no.
He did. I think he came right off the tip.
Can we play trade clip 2?
Okay. If you think it'll help.
Egypt.
I think he gets it at the buzzer, man. I still
that
think
buzzer wasn't
it
sounding, Trey. It was off.
Yes.
The only audio that was coming through was the sweet sound of Matty Ice's voice saying "Gypta."
I think he gets it right. When the buzzer ends and he gets the tee off.
I don't know.
Y'all got a decision to make. I mean, I know how serious you guys take this, and I know the elders will come up with the right choice. But I'm just saying, you need to make the right decision. I would hate for this to get to the papers, and we have controversy at Fox Sports Knoxville. I would.
Last thing we need. Trey, have yourself a great weekend. Anything else you care to add on your way out the door?
No, guys. I love coming on. I really appreciate it. I always have a blast. You know, we've got SEC football starting up here soon. We'll have Vanderbilt and Hawaii playing, and then we'll kick off the regular season the next week. I can't believe we're already here. Lots of stuff will be coming out next week after a couple of scrimmages by some teams in the conference this weekend, including Tennessee. So look for that on Monday, and I look forward to catching up with you guys this weekend. Always appreciate it.
Vandy, Hawaii is 2 weeks from tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, at 10:30 at night on CBS Sports Network. And then also that day, we get Nebraska Northwestern from Ireland.
When does that one kick off?
Hell, it's got to be early in the morning, right? I mean, it's got to be like probably 11, I would imagine, something like that.
Okay.
I can dig it. To kick off this. I just know we're getting it, so that's all that matters. Let's see if Scott Frost can start the season 1-0, because if he doesn't, I hate to see what Nebraska fans are going to say after that one.
Poor Scott Frost.
Oh, by the way, before I get out of here, good luck to Jeremy Pruitt at the poker table later this afternoon, trying to finish off the World Series of poker.
That really is him, huh?
Yeah, that's him. He's there.
Golly, I could not imagine.
I wonder how much Casey gave him on the way out the door to be able to spin.
I don't know.
It's not like he's got all that buyout money. I hope he's being responsible.
He might have had to call a former player and tried to get some of the money back to go gamble with.
It was just an $1,100 buy-in.
Times are tough, man.
I mean, you guys forget he made, what, close to $10 million while he was here or more? Close to 12?
You know, the funny part about it is, just imagine this. If you're a Tennessee fan, and we all know how close the Cherokee casinos are here to East Tennessee. I mean, it's like an hour and 20-minute drive from my place. Just imagine if you were down there hitting the slots or something like that, and Jeremy Pruitt walks by himself. And you're just like, wait a minute, what did I just see?
I mean, it shouldn't be a huge surprise. I mean, he took the term riverboat gambler to an extreme. I mean, remember how many onside kick? I mean, he probably attempted more onside kicks in 3 seasons than Fulmer did in 17. He went for 2 just recklessly at times.
It's to read, man. They'd probably be like, what the hell is this guy thinking? I can't get a read on him.
He's just giving him that look that he gave Kessling on the coach's show. Just a blank stare.
Down there in his khaki shorts and his little polo shirt, just living the life down at the Cherokee Casino. So good for him. Maybe he gets on the, maybe that's what he could do in a professional career, get on the professional poker tour.
Trey, have a good weekend, man. We'll talk soon.
See you guys.
For folks who don't know what we're talking about there, I have to remind myself, not everybody who listens to this show is on social media all the time. The pictures, one of the Barstool guys is at some World Series of Poker event in Cherokee.
Yeah, Mincy
and
is.
Jeremy Pruitt is there, and he's competing. And out of 400 people who entered, he's one of the last 20 or so still playing in this thing.
What if he just becomes like the World Series of Poker guy?
I mean, I'm not a huge poker guy. I never really got into watching poker on TV, but I would tune in if he's at one of those tables and he's mic'd up and you get to hear him. Well, guess I'm all in.
There's somebody all in. All right.
See what we got on the flop.
He throws over a straight flush. Cornbread.
Cornbread. Unbelievable. I thought when I saw that yesterday, I thought it was a joke. Like I didn't think it was real. And then saw it today, and apparently Jeremy Pruitt, big card shark.
Yeah, apparently so. I mean, it makes sense, I guess, after you look think about it. I mean, you and Mark Nagy posted the pictures today. I mean, I was looking at his face. And I was like, there's no telling what the hell that guy's holding. He just looking at you with that look on his face? Hope he wins it all.
All right, stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues live today at National RX in Farragut. Always good to be amongst the Farraguttians out west here. And we have some piping hot Jets pizza for anybody who wants to stop by this afternoon. Appreciate Jets for feeding us today. 11 124 Kingston Pike. They're right next door to us out here, and always enjoy getting out here and having a little pizza before the show. And you can come out and enjoy some of it. We got the Detroit style deep dish up here, folks. It is fantastic. And if you're looking for something to feed the family tonight or tomorrow, we got NFL preseason games on this weekend. JG is doing his thing out in the desert tonight. Hey, man, make it a Jets night. If you're one of those folks that loves the pineapple on pizza, I know this is controversial amongst some people. I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other, but some people really don't like it. Some people love it. If you love it, try the Aloha Barbecue Chicken, man. Barbecue sauce, premium mozzarella, grilled chicken, pineapple, and bacon. Great. If you're more traditional, like the Eugene Supreme is always pretty good, too. You get your mozzarella, your pizza sauce, your Italian sausage, onions, green peppers, and mild peppers. They've also got a regular Hawaiian pizza for you out there. All kinds of different specialty pizza items. Or you can just get it the way you want it. Hey, man, you give me a plain pepperoni pizza, I'm a happy guy. Jets Pizza, delicious. You can get it delivered. Call 865-675-0505 and let them know you heard about it here on Fan Run Radio. Open lines if you want to jump in here, 865-546-8200. Danny White has put forth a very interesting proposition out there, and we're going to talk about that coming up here in hour number two. Go check your Twitter if you want to know what I'm talking about, and we can kick that around. But want to get to the phones here and talk to TJ, the Kentucky fan. It's been a very difficult 24 hours or so for TJ. Good afternoon, TJ. How are you, sir?
Guys, it's really not been. I know you got, all the other fan bases are, oh, Kentucky's blowing up. But it's really not, because, once again, if you read the entire article, all these other sports are getting brand new facilities. The football team just spent $200 million. The baseball team just got an entire field and stadium 3 years ago. And his practice facility is literally leaking when it rains. Would you not be upset as well if your athletic director is not listening to you? Okay, fine. I'm going to come out in public and say it. Maybe that'll get me a new practice facility. I have nothing wrong with Calipari saying what he did. He wasn't throwing any coach under the bus. He wasn't throwing any team under the bus. He just wants a practice facility that does not leak when it rains. That's it.
And you know what, TJ? You're right. He's right. And the fact that you're coming to his defense so quickly just underscores the fact that what he was talking about, you're a basketball school. Why is Mark? Why does Mark Stoops, why does your coach have so much trouble accepting that?
I have no clue. I don't. I'm with you. I'm with you. If Mark Stoops wouldn't have tweeted out anything, if Vince Merrill wouldn't have tweeted out anything, if the football players wouldn't have said anything, this literally wouldn't be a story today at all.
Wow. That singing from the same songbook here, me and TJ Bear, do you have can you argue with anything here? I think we're all kind of singing the same song.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's not as big a deal as I think it's a bigger deal than TJ does, just because you've got Stoops and Calipari going at it on, I don't know if Calipari said anything back, but I mean, Mark Stoops got to know his role, man. That's John Calipari he's trying to step to. The Godfather.
Well, I'm not saying that, but...
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what's your boy thinking up there? He's getting a little bit full of himself, isn't he? That's John freaking Calipari. Know your role, Mark Stoops. Pad your schedule with your cupcake games. Enjoy your 9 or 10, sometimes 10-win seasons. Never beaten Tennessee. I wouldn't step to the Godfather.
Hey, real quick, speaking of that, Bear, what you were just talking about, I see a lot of this, you know, Kentucky has 10 wins because of their schedule. Anybody can do that. So, pure football talk, not trash talking at all, pure football talk. Did you know the only difference in Kentucky and Tennessee's football schedule the last maybe 4 or 5 years is Alabama and Mississippi State? We both drew two teams from the West. This year, we're Ole Miss. Y'all are LSU. Last year, we had LSU. We beat them. We both played three crappy teams and a team from the ACC, Pitt and Louisville, and we played the same SEC East teams. So
the records aren't the same, buddy.
The only outlier is Alabama. Tennessee.
That's quite the outlier.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. Only Alabama's the only outlier? The greatest team, college football team that's ever been assembled?
I would say that, first of all, Alabama, Mississippi State, that's a huge disparity, and that's one game. And then second of all, you said that you guys played LSU last year and Tennessee played Ole Miss. Well, I mean, on the surface, if you're just talking about the brands, yeah, Tennessee had an easier road, but not last year. Ole Miss was a much better team. And so that was a much harder game for Tennessee.
And this year we're playing Ole Miss. So if
they're not as good, and LSU is better. So, I mean, hey, ultimately.
How do you know LSU is better? They have a brand new coach. They have, like, basically all new players who really haven't taken SEC snaps. So how are you going to automatically say they're better? Well, and to go a little step further, an easy game to win, and once again, not trash talking, just pointing out facts, Tennessee in the last 10 years is 5-5 against Vanderbilt. Kentucky is like 9-1 against them. Yes, I know we always lose to Tennessee. You don't have to point that out. I point it out.
You kind of do have to point
that
out.
Yeah, you have to point it out.
You're trying to make the case that Kentucky has a better program. That's the beautiful thing about it, TJ. Hey, man, I'll give you guys respect. Your program has improved drastically. I think Tennessee and Kentucky are kind of on the same level. The games last year was close. And if you guys are ready for prime time, like you want to beat your chest and pretend to be, then you'll come in here and give us a game. We'll see you in October, baby.
But, I mean, right now you're 4-36 against us in the last 40 years. So, I don't know, man.
Thank you, TJ. We got to run, man. Appreciate the phone call. Take a quick timeout. Marcus will have your top four at four when we continue hour number two of The Drive coming up next.